Wednesday, August the 9th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County First District Supervisor Rex Bone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Where'd July go?
Where'd the 1900s go?
Oh, man.
I mean, if we're going to get serious here.
And mine were longer than yours.
Yeah, I know.
But no, July just...
Yeah, it's... Something's going on out there. I don't think it's age, but what do I know for certain? Yeah. Our quote this morning comes from R.L. Stevenson in 1882. Robert Louis Stevenson.
Robert Louis Stevenson.
Okay. Has nothing to do with kidnapped. Politics is perhaps the only profession for which no preparation is thought necessary. It's allowed so many people to become elected, huh?
There's truth to that story.
Yeah, no kidding.
Present company included.
Yeah. A lot of folks think that the 2 weeks in August when the board goes dark or doesn't have meetings is vacation time. In the past, I know some of the guys have used it as such, as a chance to get out of town and not feel like they're losing ground, so to speak. Others see it as an opportunity to catch up. What flavor are you?
Well, let's see. 4 nights last week, I was out of the house at 7 o'clock for meetings. So I had meetings 4 nights last week. I had an event last Saturday and the Saturday before, fundraising events. No, not much grass growing underneath. And it's a good time to catch up. I just don't, I don't have as much time. I don't have prep time on Sunday and Monday for the meeting. Saturday, Sunday, Monday for the agenda. Tuesdays is a little bit more open. So I'm able to get out. I get out in my district a lot anyway, but I just get an opportunity to get out a little bit more and not have to worry about getting back for a meeting and stuff. And
how much reading do you have to do for a meeting? I mean, not to fake it, but to feel comfortable.
I would say on the agenda and doing backup and everything else, I probably spend probably no less than 4 and sometimes as much as 8, because you want to research stuff and just make sure you've got an idea what's going on.
Follow up stuff.
And some meetings are longer than others, and you've got that little glitch on the bottom of every staff report that says does not impact the general fund, and so that's almost like that's a stamp of approval or supposed to be. It's not going to take any money off of public safety and those likes and everything else, but at the end of the day, it's all money coming, whether it's coming from the Fed, state, or our pockets. It's all money that we've paid. So
somebody's time also.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a resource that oftentimes I think is,
and I like to follow up on the buzzwords that always get us are the homeless issues, mental health, all these issues that are, and I hate saying it and I say it all the time, but there was a big article from Reading the other day, and just insert your city's name here, because they were talking about the people on the streets, the yelling, the screaming, the derelicts and stuff like that. And they were talking about Reading. I thought they were, so it's...
Yeah, I understand Reading's been having...
Reading, Santa...
A bit of an issue.
There's...
More Reading, more and, than the
Yeah, and they're a little more spread out. And they've got... So I guess the impacts, but I noticed it last time. If you don't think, I don't look around when I travel, seeing if I can see any,
Sure. Well, I mean, when you see them in Weaverville...
Yeah,
it's a pretty good indicator.
And my faction is, it's not always, that doesn't make any better for us, because it's like a businessman going, boy, I'm slow too. That doesn't make the guy feel any better, because he's still just as broke.
It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long. Brought to you on KINS, in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:20. 23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, some of the different challenges this time of the year are, I guess, compounded. You got reggae on the river. Okay, and not the stereotype, but there's a segment that hang out afterwards because they don't have anywhere to go. You got the tourists this time of the year. You got a lot of road construction work this time of the year. Are there any, other than the fairs, things that you look at kind of as the traditional for this time of the year that are just kind of demarcating, okay, falls around the corner?
Well, and I'll go out of the district a little bit. A couple weeks ago, up to the Blackberry Festival in West Haven. I mean,
pies do that for me.
You know, but I'll say this with the utmost respect. I call it one of those little podunk things we get to go do, and the place was packed. It was an hour to get a pie. It was packed. What a great fundraiser. And those ladies up there making the pies, they make them year-round. What a great fundraiser. There was parking everywhere. And so we went down to Trinidad after that, and it was a beautiful day. All the restaurants were full, and you're looking around. We do live in a gorgeous place. You can throw rocks at it all you want, but, you know, we live in a gorgeous setting. Weekend before last, Roll on the Matole out in the Matole Valley, fundraiser for the Honeydew Volunteer Fire Department. Almost 1,100 people paid at the gate, and I take 1,800 oysters out there in my barbecue, and we get the oysters pretty much donated from a couple of the local oyster companies. Now, 1,100 people, it's not a lot, but they have it every year, and a lot of people look forward to coming up. The AW, the county-owned campground next door to it, AWA, I left about midnight, took my partner Dave Tyson with me to help cook oysters, but we're coming back, so we drove through AWA, and it was packed, and I talked to Zach there who runs it, and it was a pretty good day all around, and the little neighborhood festivals, even little Swagger Days in Lolita had a couple hundred people show up for it, and I think those things are, you know, and then Fortuna, I mean, you know, they bust through the seams because they go Rodeo Auto Expo. I mean, bam, bam, and they fill everything up, you know, and they have little other things. But those two things back to back, they make so much money for the Rodeo Association, and then the Auto Expo, because they're providing scholarships and things like that. And these are all efforts that are done. Every one of those efforts that I just mentioned are all done by volunteer people.
That's probably the biggest key and a reflection of a community's involvement, too. Is it paid? As a volunteer, big difference.
No, it's huge commitment.
But for folks showing up, it's all fun.
Commitment to community, and I always nut up a little bit when somebody you go to one of these and somebody's complaining about something, and I'm going, nobody's getting paid here, sport. If the trash can's full, take it to the dumpster and dumpster. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't think people sometimes appreciate how much time and effort. I mean, that little thing at the Matole takes a huge amount of time. I think they make 2,000 pies, I've heard, or 2,500 pies. Somebody's got to pick those berries. Somebody's got to make the dough. Somebody has to bake them, and somebody has to freeze them. And it's the little West Haven ladies group up there. And, I mean, that's a huge deal. Trinidad has their fish festival. It just amazes me, all the different events that go on and the people that put them together. And some make $500, some make $5,000, some maybe make $50,000. I don't know. But then nobody's getting paid. They all donate it back to make their community better. And I mean, I think that's what rural living is all about, is commitment to community.
I would think that's the biggest thing. You know, it's a phrase many have used, but a hand out or a hand up.
You know,
significant difference. I mean, if you see the folks benefiting, partaking, it puts a whole different feel on it rather than those that just show up for the check.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I just, you know, and I mean, it spread throughout the whole community in so many events. We look at, you know, I mean, our little baseball clubs this year. I mean, we had a couple teams from one of the local leagues, Redwood Empire. They went all the way to the North State Championships. I mean, didn't win there, but they won the two tournaments to get there. We have two Legion teams that did really, really well. So the boys this summer are repping Humboldt really well. You see it every week with our traveling soccer squads that are, you know, that get up to Medford and go around, and they have the, and then Arcata has their big tournament here around, I think it's around October. And besides bringing, you know, heads and, you know, beds, besides that option, when they have the tournaments here, it's just providing wholesome activities for families.
Fun stuff.
Fun stuff.
It's
fun stuff.
I think too often things get wrapped up in how complicated can they be. It's just fun. Don't worry about it. You don't have to do fillets on the barbecue. Hot dogs are okay.
Give me a good hamburger, and it's probably as good as any fillet I've ever had.
Yeah,
you know?
Make it simple, make it easy, and make some money out of it instead of worrying about some of the other tertiary things like you were talking about.
Yeah, but, I mean, it always amazes me, and I think that's why I just love Humboldt so much, is the commitment to community you see in so many different And it starts in so many I know you're involved with Rotary. The Rotary groups are stepping up and doing their cleanups around town, which I think is great. Kiwanis, Lions, they all do. Everybody's doing multitudes of things. And at the end of the day, they're all, you know, doing it for the community and the community they live in. But, you know, on the retrospect, all these local businesses that donate to all these things.
That's mind-boggling to me also. We getting involved with the cemetery a little bit, you know, it's almost, you're almost embarrassed to ask because you know everybody's tapping on them.
I've got friends,
but they get so excited.
I've got friends
about helping out
that never say no. I mean, I don't know if Barbara Groom ever says no. I mean, I know Jack Rickey never says no at the Ace Hardwares. I know Kevin when it's a McKinleyville thing up at his. I mean, these guys are, and you know, I do 40 auctions a year, and I don't do every auction. I do a lot of them, but I don't do all of them. And these people donate to everything because it's betterment for our community, and it just amazes me.
It's almost numbing how much these guys do.
Oh, it just, you know,
and gals.
Yeah, no, I mean, because all these are, you know, all these businesses. I mean, they're family-owned businesses. They've all got partners and stuff. They've all got, you know,
they got lives.
Yeah,
it's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bone. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Rex, the spirit, I guess, of the area is kind of an intriguing one. It certainly has changed. The dynamics have, the culture has. Turnover is part of it. For those folks who may not even have been here, you know, I kind of unofficially dubbed it Rex's Park. Okay. The McKay track. What's the status of that? Is there things going on there?
Yeah, we're moving forward up there. We're getting ready to build the first parking lot in Headlands off of Northgate there. And at the end, it's going to be, I think, a 12 or an 18-space parking lot. And it's going to have a little place for horse trailers. The McKay's getting used quite a bit. We haven't done any trail preparation, but there are a lot of trails back there. I think one of the other, we're going to work out a deal with Kurt Kramer because he has 80 acres around the ball fields, and we're going to use, that's going to be one of the trailheads so people can park at the end of the parking lot, you know, because it's parking lot's usually fairly empty except for game days and soccer on Saturdays and football and things like that, which are kicking off. But it's been pretty successful what we've done. We've looked at a couple logging plants because it's going to be a working forest. We're going to keep it thinned out, and at the same time when we thin out the logging, you know, make a healthy forest, we're going to be able to work on trails because we'll have equipment in there. So
is the Harris Street end going to be an access point, or is that a future access point?
We're working with right now we're at Redwood Acres. I don't know where that's at, but we're talking about accessing because it butts up to Redwood Acres and accessing it there, and then there's a little piece of property at Green Diamond. There's a little part and back of the new hospice complex. So there's multiple locations that we're trying to do. We don't want a whole bunch, and we're trying to kind of keep the interface and the trails from the backyards of the neighbors that do butt up to it for obvious reasons. Most of the backyards we're pretty good with. So,
you know, but Hammond Trail is right up against
it. It runs up along, you know, and they've had issues with that being right up alongside. So we're trying to
avoid
escape
those.
Some of those things. And you learn from, you know, Hammond Trail is so successful. So as we move along, pretty happy with the way the McKay is going. And, you know, it's been a couple years now. And two and a half years, we're looking at, there's a couple other pieces that interface with. The best deal about it, they're still going to be working for us, but they won't be developed for housing. And so that allows for a great part of our community to have those kind of walking trails within that little cut and complex, because there's, you know, 3,000-4,000 people that live in that little area.
So as this plan was starting to develop, I and a number of others were concerned that it would be a magnet for homeless. We saw, certainly early on there was a significant change. You tell us some of the retailers in the neighborhood. It was different. Is it closer to your scenario where no problem? Closer to my scenario where there's going to be a whole bunch of folks living in there? What's the status that arena?
We have got very alert neighbors. We also have, I've got two or three volunteers, retired guys, a couple of them ex-law enforcement, that walk out there on a daily basis. And they do not pity-patty around. They tell people, you're not going to camp here. Your campground will be taken out. We've given notices, and then we'll go out and take a campground down. We have been very, very fortunate on the amount of houseless, homeless people that are out there.
Because
it's public land, but it is not camping land. It's not, you're exactly right. So we've been very fortunate. I tend to stop and ask a lot of people what they're doing out in the neighborhood, if they're got their backpack and their dogs and everything else. And so we've been, because that's not what it's for. And it's the last thing in the world I want to do is make anybody walk around a corner and feel uncomfortable. So I get a lot of phone calls from people saying, hey, there's some people living here. Sheriff's Department's been pretty good about reacting to it. So we've been, I consider it fortunate, because I saw a lot more before it came in, before it was purchased for the county. I saw more homeless activity out there because Green Diamond has 240,000 acres and two guards, you know, two guys patrolling it, plus their foresters and things like that. Now we've got it down to 1,000 acres, 1,100 acres that's under county control, and we're able to control it, our part of it, working in conjunction with Green Diamond, our partners on it. So,
kudos.
I think
if it's being worked, great.
And it's steady. I mean, I go out there on my four-wheeler. I go out there and hike. I mean, I walk it on a regular basis because it's not far from my house.
Is it okay to run quads?
No.
Oh, I see. Boss's prerogative.
I take a motorized vehicle when we're taking a camp down. A camp out, we've got to take.
Well, you got to haul stuff out.
Yeah, we can't pack it out. I don't go out there and ride. Yeah, there's okay.
Be, you know, one of the old logging roads.
It's just and we do. We can access it from the bottom and the top. So we've, you know, but no, when we do bring out camps, we do have to go back there and do it that way. So. And once their camp's gone, they don't want to lose their beings again. But we do warn them and stuff. So
I had an interesting situation. It was last week when I was in Brookings. Yeah, I mean, you see and you react, right? Okay. So this was the day after the kid fell off the bluff. And it was a 20-something, hadn't shaved in a period of time, backpack on, the jeans, fishing pole, Desert Storm boots on. Okay. Look for signs before you get too excited here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just let, you know, let it happen. So.
And there was an incident out there. I had a guy that I kept evading, him and his wife and two dogs. And I'd see him come in. I'd chase him down. Finally, one day I caught him. And I says, hey, you can't camp out there. I jumped out and I was going to, you know, and it ended up being, he was being scheduled at the VA hospital for heart surgery. His wife was a veteran, and I asked for their cards. I said, really? Let me see. because they all tell stories and stuff like that. And I ended up giving him $30 because I felt sorry for him and told him he could stay there for another 6 days. So he said, I'll be gone in 6 days. And what are you going to do? I mean, and I think, you know, the veterans, there's a big push. There's a new unit. They're talking about some new 50 units being built on 4th Street that I think is going to be, half of it's going to be for veterans, half of it's going to be for first-time houses, you know, for the homeless housing. Probably a good location for it, probably clean that corner up and stuff like that. So I think as we move forward, it's just people don't want to hear that there's just not enough money to fix the problem, but we do have to stop the water coming out of the dam, so...
Yeah, or water going into the dam.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, this time of the year, you know, we've talked about a couple of things. I know it's also hold your breath time because of the fires and the road construction. We see an awful lot of that going on. Is Public Works able to get out? Are they able to do some of the repairs this time of the year, even with the fires and some of the dry conditions, get out and do some of the stuff that they were hoping to? In spite of some of the challenges.
And some emergency, some FEMA money has been released. We're doing a couple one-lane position. There's been a one-lane chunk up on Wildcat that's been going on for, God, forever, it seems like. And now they've gone up there, and it's almost wrapped up. Wilcox out of Redway has got it pretty much wrapped up, and I always love to have a small, you know, our local contractor, small or big. I always like it to be local because I know that it's mainly local people doing it, so that's always a good fix. We've done quite a bit. The Petroleum Atoll Road, I know they've done quite a bit. They're trying to do quite a bit out towards Alder Point. I was up in McKinleyville the other day and asked Ryan, who'd you pay off? Because he had a whole bunch of his roads over, you know.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see them. They're working on roads before they get too far. You know, some of the subdivisions up there, it looks a lot better. So, yeah, I mean, with the help of Measure Z, looking at the SB1 monies that are going to be coming in, that's going to be a shot in the arm. That's going to help us out.
Are you hearing anything about Last Chance?
Last Chance.
I know it's kind of in the next phase.
I want to thank you guys for keeping that in the forefront and keeping that, because people are listening to that and making those emails. One of the biggest problems we had back in Colorado was, since it had never failed, because we've been throwing so much money to keep it patched up, it's never been an issue and never created what's going to happen. And the whole idea is, well, what do you think about fixing it before poop hits the fan? You know, and it has, you know, both with our local electeds and Huffman, and we don't get a lot up here, you know, because there's not a lot of us up here. But it has become to the forefront, and I think it's moving for government. I don't want to say warp speed, but I do think it's in the passing lane rather than in the pullout.
Quick, got 30 seconds left. Anything about Richardson's Grove?
Caltrans is moving it forward. It's the biggest waste of money I've ever seen in my life. It's going to cost us just like Willits. The environmental problems are going to cost us. It's going to cost 300% more, and at the end, nobody's going to say, well, what did it do? Because it's not doing anything. It's just widening the road because the trees have grown over the last 50 years and encroached in. Let's make it a little bit safer to travel on, and I promise you they won't take an old-growth redwood out.
Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.